children as they're happy. And speaking of children, I believe children are anxiously, excitedly waiting to go to children's church. You may go at this time. All right. I think I'll just go and praise the Lord. You know, I always said if we could come into church like our children, boy, what how awesome that would be. Exciting. I loved the BGMC presentation this morning. Who was the teacher this morning? Not the teacher, but the narrator of this morning. I don't know where she went. She was on the worship team. Hey, great job pronouncing all those names, too. Wow. I'm terrible at that. I just caught a, you know, when I don't know how to finish a word, I just kind of move you around, just finish that off like that and blame it on the Lord. So, praise the Lord. So, this morning, if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, so either turn into your Bibles or turn on your app, and we're going to go into the message this morning, and I'm going to get on with the spaghetti competition. So, praise the Lord. How many of y'all know Jesus wins? Amen. Come on, Jesus wins. I told a young pastor, he was, he's a pastor, Mike, I just don't know what to preach tomorrow. He goes, I'm just dry, I just don't know, you know, and he had only been preaching for a few months, and he had gone through all the four sermons that he had had twice, and he was like, I don't know what to preach tomorrow. I said, let me just tell you something right now. You can never, ever, ever go wrong with Jesus. If you don't know what to preach, just start talking about Jesus, because he is the good news. It's the gospel. You know, the heart of our ministry is to bring health to the body and hope for the soul. And that hope for the soul is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it never grows old. It never loses its power. Come on, listen to me, church. It's never outdated. You can put smoke and bells and whistles on it, or you can have it uptown, downtown, out of town, in the country, in the city. It's still the gospel, and it's still the good news, and it still changes people's lives. No matter where we are, and no matter whether it's here in this great country or whether it's overseas, God is on the throne, and he's still in the soul-saving business. He still changes the lives and the hearts of men and women. And at the revelation of Jesus Christ, people's lives are changed. And so if you have your Bibles, we're going to be the book of Leviticus. And you say, oh, Lord, we're going to preach out of Leviticus. We'll never get to the spaghetti. But let me just kind of jump right in here and whittle this down just a little bit. Because in the book of Leviticus, it is Moses giving instructions for the priests on how to minister effectively. And he's giving these instructions to Aaron and his sons and all those in the Levitical line. And he says something in there that I think that we need to make note of. I've entitled this morning's message is Don't Let the Fire Go Out. Come on, don't let the fire go out. There's some of you sitting here this morning and you've let the fire go out. Some of you hear that the elements have caused the fire to go out. Some of you sitting here, circumstances in life has caused the fire to be, you know, that God would have you, be on to be burned up with him for. You've let it go out this morning. It's really easy to get caught up in a religious activity and check off a box called church, and to go to church and just to kind of go through the motions to check in and check out and feel accomplished. But that's not the heart of God. God really doesn't want your talents. He wants them, but that's not what impresses him. What impresses him is your heart. And so oftentimes we want God to fill our hand. We want God to fill our mind. But what God wants to do is fill our heart first. And so I'm going to challenge you, really three things that I want to talk about is not letting the fire go out. And so in the sixth chapter of the book of Leviticus, we'll just jump in here at verse 8. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth of the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. Verse 10, and the priest shall put on his linen garments and his linen trousers. He shall put on his body and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside of the camp to a clean place. And the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13, a fire shall always be burning on the altar, and it shall never go out. Would you pray with me just for a second? Jesus, I thank you that you challenge us by your word today. Father, you have commanded us as a royal priesthood, as your chosen generation, as your own peculiar people. Lord, you've called us as priests. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, that we would not let the fire go out. Even though we're not bound by this law, Father, in our hearts, you want to speak to us fresh today and give us fresh instructions of not letting the fire go out. Now, there are some here, Lord, that the fire has gone out. There are some here that once blazed hot, but now the ashes have grown cold. Father, there are some here that are being challenged by the elements. Father, the winds and the rains, the storms of life that would try to extinguish this fire that you want burned inside of us, cooped up inside of our bones, Father, that we may, Lord, burn brightly for you, and that we truly will be the light of the world. And I pray, Father, that we would not hide it, we would not alter it, we would, Lord, make sure and tend to it so that the fire wouldn't go out. And so, Father, help us today keep the fire burning. In Jesus' name we say amen. Amen. I want to speak to you three things very quickly that I think that we need to tend to. First and foremost, in verse 9, he says, this is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. Number one, we need the fire. We need the fire. You need the fire. I need the fire. I don't care how many years I may have been preaching. I've been doing this for 40 years. I need the fire, and I need fresh fire. You need fire today because it is the light of the world. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. I understand you're in a series through the book of Acts and how unstoppable that the church should be, how unstoppable that believer should be, because if we believe with all of our heart that he who lives in us is greater than he that lives in the world, if we believe it's not I who live, but Christ who lives in us, if we believe that there's nothing impossible with God, then church, we have to have a certain, swagger, if I can use. We need to have a certain swagger saying, I believe that I am somebody. I've been bought with a price. I've been purchased. I have, I've been given gifts, and I've been given the power of God and a peace that passes all understanding, that I don't just have a power, but I have a joy. I believe that I've been given gifts. They are not carnal, but they are spiritual for the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty in God. Church, do we believe that the gifts of God are mighty? Do we believe in our spirit that He is all who He says He is, and that we can do all that He says that we can do? Do we believe that with every fiber of our being, so that it impacts and affects our everyday lives, that He has set a fire in our spirit, that He has set a fire down in our soul? We have to desire, we have to need the fire. I need the fire today, because if I don't, then I am motoring on my own ability. I am, moving and doing and having my being with my own doing and my own understanding and my own intellect and my own giftings and my own talents with my own energy. And I have what you call willpower. You know, willpower is important. I believe in willpower. My dad was an awesome dad, and he used to tell me all the time growing up. He used to have a saying for me, and his saying to me was, "Go get 'em, Tiger." That's what he used to say. "Go get 'em, Tiger." He said, "You can do it. Say you can. Say you can. Say you can." And so when I would play ball or football or baseball or basketball or whatever sport I happened to be in at that time, my dad instilled a confidence in me that would say, "You can do this. I believe in you," is what my dad was telling me. And if you believe that you can, you can. That's called willpower. And willpower is important. We need to have lots of willpower. But how many of y'all know that willpower will only take you but so far? I mean, New Year's resolutions are proof to that fact. By goody golly, I'm gonna lose 20 pounds before Easter. Well, usually within a few weeks, we've gained some weight, because all of a sudden pizza becomes more than pizza. It becomes the food of the gods. I hope Sam liked his pizza last night, because I didn't get nothing. Get no pizza, but he has eaten pizza right beside me. And he was rubbing it in too. I mean, he was literally rubbing it in too. But willpower will only take you but so far. But real power, well, that will transform not only you, but it will transform the people that you're trying to reach. Because it's not just a willpower. It's not just your personality. It's not just how eloquently you can do something, or how magical it may seem. It is real power. That's power from on high. We need the fire. I like what 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently." How? With a pure heart. A pure heart can only come from Jesus Christ. A pure heart can only come when it's motivated and inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is why, the book of Acts is so powerful, because we believe, the Assemblies of God started off as an apostolic movement, and somewhere along the lines, it began to become they can kick me out of Wisconsin if they want to, because I just go a few miles down the road and be in Minnesota. Come on, somebody. But, at some point in time, we went over and became organized and structured. And, we began to look at the wrong things. I love the story of David and how, he wasn't even included as one of the sons. He was just out there, and his father didn't think enough of him even to include him in the lineup there. But God looks on something differently. God looks upon the heart, And so he wanted to empower him and use him. And he was made a lot of bad mistakes. But one thing you always realize when you read the Psalms is he understood his need for the fire. So we need the fire of the Holy Spirit to enable us to love God and to love people. You can like people. You can love God and like people because, after all, we have to do that, right? I mean, you know, if I said, how many of y'all came with somebody and that you really like, you know, point and, you know, most of you would like each other. And how many of y'all, well, maybe we won't point because maybe you don't like them so much. But only the power of the Holy Spirit lets us go out. But the challenge, once again, is don't let the fire go out. That's how that this text starts. Don't let the fire go out. And one of the reasons is because there are people that are dependent on. Every 4 seconds, one child dies because of a lack of clean water. I don't know about you, but I find that unacceptable. I don't know about you, but I find, how is it so simple? How can $20 in today's world economy, how can $20 last for 10 years? I mean, some of you are doing the math already in your head. That's few cents a day. It is amazing that we can do something about it. There are one-shot solutions around the world. Little things, simple things, things like sanitation, things like hygiene. I mean, we could go on, and I don't want to spend all my time on that, but it's important that we need the fire. Number two, we need to feed the fire. We need to feed the fire. Look at verse 12. And on the fire on the altar shall be kept burning on it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it, that he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offering. Now, I want you to, it's important that we understand that the things there were typologies for us today. We can use them. That's why we preach out of the Old Testament oftentimes, because they served as lessons and typologies for you and I. And, you know, when in those days, the priesthood was reserved for the Levites and the tribe of Levi, and only the priesthood could come out of that. How many of y'all know that one of the glorious things about God and the power of the Holy Spirit was that when Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." And the veil of the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, and it gave us all access into the Holy of Holies, and it gave us all access. That's a powerful word, access, because before, if you weren't in the club and you didn't have the key, you weren't able to come in and really participate. But Jesus made it so that all could participate, that all who are heavy and weary could come and find rest, that all who desire to be saved could be saved, that it's not exclusive anymore. It's, I mean, inclusive anymore, but it's an exclusive in the terms that everybody is welcome, so everybody is included. And so when you become born again, when you surrender your life to the Lord and you say, "Yes, Jesus, I want you to come in," then you are made into a priest. You are, as Peter, as we read there in Peter, that we are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. This is why I said before, all of you are chosen. God is looking for people to rise up and looking for believers to rise up and to take their authority that they've been given and to stand on that and to do something significant in their lives. Your lives are made up of more than your jobs or your schooling, or, you know, all those are not unimportant, but look at the bigger picture here and say, what I do, whether it's by phone or by internet or whether it's through a podcast or whether it's through other circumstances and situations, you can do something glorious. And one, you too can, trust me, if I can do it, I know that you can do it. You too can start a ministry. You too can start a podcast. You too can be used and use God to do great things for His glory. But you got to not just need the fire, but you got to feed the fire. You know, we understand about feeding, not just ourselves. We know that when we get hungry, our body tells us. Whether we need it or not, our body tells us it's lunchtime. It's dinner time. It's time to eat. You know, we get into these norms. But we've also have a lot of examples that we have all around here. You know, I'm driving this car, and it tells me, one, when I'm getting out of the lane, you know what I'm saying? I hate that thing. It tells me when I turn my blinker on and I'm starting to get into a lane and there's somebody in that lane. He goes, beep, beep, beep. Tells me, he says, hey, don't get over right now. There is a little gauge on there. Some of you may have seen it. There's this little gauge on there, and it's called F and E. And when it gets low to E, when it starts getting down toward the E, this little yellow light comes on. And this little yellow light should not be ignored. Ask me how I know. If you ignore it, you're walking. You know, you can't just keep going. And there are so many Christians that ignore all the signs and all the things that the Holy Spirit speaks into your lives to stop and pull over and fill up. Come on, somebody. Check the oil. Come on, somebody. Check the tire pressures. Come on, somebody. Listen to me, church. We've got to feed this fire. We've got to feed our spirit, man. We've got to be hungry and thirsty for righteousness, because those that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness shall be what? Filled. I mean, we got to fill up. We got to check it out. We got to pay heed. We have to feed the fire. I like the Amplified Bible. Romans 2:1 says, I appeal to you, brethren, and beg to you in full view of the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, and intelligent service and spiritual act of worship. So, how much of God do we want? I don't know. I mean, I can't speak that for you. I know how much of God I want. I want as much of him as I can get. Am I always like that? No, I wish I was. I wish I woke up every morning and you know, that the devil trembled because, you know, the saint of God woke up. That sounds good till you've had a bad Monday and a bad Tuesday, and it's now Wednesday morning, and prospects aren't looking great for a good Wednesday. Come on. That sounds great until the wheels start coming off the bus and things don't go right, and you lose the job that you had counted on, or a marriage starts to crack and crumble, or, you know, your dreams and your hopes, if you thought that something would turn out, would be that it would happen A, B, and C in that order, and it would be easy, and it would be comfortable, and it would be nice, and it would be neat. But life is neither nice nor neat nor comfortable or easy. In fact, the Word of God says that in this world, you will have trouble. But be of good courage. For Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I mean, if you go out of here and someone says, what did the preacher preach on? He says, we're going to have a bad day. I mean, the fact is that things don't always go according to plan A or plan B, and sometimes not even plan C. Am I the only one that experiences life like that? When your hopes and dreams or the things that you thought don't turn out that way, then what do? We need to feed the fire. We need to feed the fire. We must keep fuel on the fire to keep it burning. We are the fuel. Our praise, our prayers, our Bible study, our first fruits, those are all part of the fuel that goes in. And I would repeat myself again and again and again, because you'll know what the title is. You may know not what I said after that, but what was the title? Don't let the fire go out. Because there is an awful lot of things, because not only should we, one, need the fire, number two, not only should we feed the fire, but number three, we should read the fire. We should read it. Anybody that's ever burned wood and, you know, understand the importance of reading the fire. I like what 1 Peter 2:1 says, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. You say, well, he's talking about the heathens. No, he's not talking to the heathens. I mean, they're included in this, but he's talking to church folk. Isn't it amazing how much of the Bible is talking to church folk, but we always want to assign it to someone else? We want to assign it to all those crazies that live here or there or somewhere else. He says, the reason why I say he's talking to church folks, he says, don't let hypocrisy, envy, or all evil speaking, as newborn babes, come on, now we're included. It says, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. That you may grow. You know, when you stop growing, you really start dying. Never stop being a student, never stop wanting more, never stop getting more, never stop reaching forward to those things which are ahead and forgetting those things which are behind. Never think that it's too late. You're not too young, nor are you too old to do new things and experience new things in Christ, because how many all believe that his mercies are new every morning? And that his Holy Spirit is a consuming fire and he desires to flame up inside of you. So we must read and examine the fire to see if it's hot and fully flamed. We must rid ourselves of anything that hinders or threatens to choke out the flame. Now, time doesn't allow me to talk about one of those roles of the priest was to go to the altar and to say, okay, all night long, the wood has burned on this altar. And how many of y'all know when something gets burned up, what does it create? Ashes. How many of y'all know that ashes, a certain level of ashes, are a great bed to keep embers going, but you let those ashes go too long and those ashes cause the fire to go out. And so they had a responsibility to go up and to clean the ashes out. How many of y'all burn wood in your home? Come on. You know, you've got to clean that out. You've got to shovel those out. Well, in those days, they had to do something beyond that. Not only did they have to take the ash, but then they had to take those ashes to kind of an off-site there, and they had to dispose of the ashes in the proper way. I'm so glad today is that Jesus Christ has exposed of our ashes, that Jesus Christ wants to burn brightly in us, and Jesus Christ wants to have a fire that's fanned into flame in us. And he wants us to be open and desirable of him and saying, oh God, I want to know more. I don't want just embers. I don't want just a flicker. I don't want just a spark, but I want to be a flame that is lit, because then I become a light into the world. And it's not to be hidden under a bushel. It's not to be tucked away. It's not to be hidden away. But it is to be made known so that the world may know that the light of God lives inside of him. And so God is so good and so awesome. And so we must examine the fire to see if it's hot and fully flamed. And we must rid ourselves of anything, once again, that hinders or threatens to choke out the flame. And in closing, don't let the fire go out. So as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I don't know where our musician brother's at. I don't know if one of your musicians will come. There he is. You got baby duty. Come on, somebody say amen. So as we examine ourselves, it's just really important. Examine ourselves. Paul would say it a different way. He would say, I want to examine myself, least after I preach that I become disqualified. I want to be qualified, and I am qualified by God. But I want to do something for Him. I'm 60. How old am I, Pastor? 60. Yeah, you got it right. 63. And how old are you? 64. He's older than me, and he's got like 47 grandchildren, I think. You know how many I got? But you know what? It's okay to have one, because all the spoiledness is going into that one. She doesn't stand a chance, man. And everything that they say about grandchildren is true. I've heard it my whole life. Oh, the grandchildren are the greatest and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, you know, because I really liked my kids. I mean, well, two of them I really liked. One I just tolerated. I only had two boys. One lives in heaven. The other one, he's a pretty good dude. And but I have learned that I love my grandchild. So, and I tolerate my son. So I really believe that God wants us to fan up the flame, stir up the gifts of God that's in us. Sometimes, you know, other people will stir you up. I hope in some way today you've been stirred up, that the Lord has used me and the Holy Spirit that lives in me and by the Holy Spirit and by the anointing has struck a chord in you. I pray that. You know, I'm sure there's a few, please, Lord. But, you know, sometimes, you know, God will use a Bible passage, or God will use a prayer. God will use your pastor or your pastor's wife or someone in the church or whatever. But there are those times where you have to encourage thyself, and you have to do a gut check and say, you know what? I don't want to let the fire go out. And that's kind of where I'm at this morning with you and this delivering this message. And brother, I got a word for you, by the way, that I want to give to you before we leave here today. Will you receive that?
Absolutely.
Okay. If you're here, let's just do a little inventory. Don't worry about the person sitting next to you. Not that their situation and circumstances doesn't matter, but right now God's speaking to us individually. Aren't you glad that God speaks to us, you know, and speaks directly to us? Don't have to go through the priest. Don't have to go through some kind of religious exercise. He just speaks to us. But so you know, and I don't know you. I don't know what you struggle with. I don't know what you might be going through. I don't know what you face. But everybody here who the flame has gone out, you know it this morning. You know, you know whether you've kept the fire burning or not, or it's gone out. As I said earlier, maybe it went out, or maybe it's being challenged by the elements. How many of y'all know wind comes, rain comes? You know, a supposed, seemingly lack of supply comes. There's more need than there is to supply, but how many of y'all also know that Jesus Christ is sufficient and he's got an abundance for whatever you have need of. And if you're here and, you know, the fire's going out this morning, you know what the good news is? Is that he wants to light the fire again. He wants to blow on you. He wants to blow on the embers that are dying down. That pneuma, that breath of life, that same breath that he breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living being, is that same pneuma that breathed upon the disciples in the upper room when they were worried and scared and didn't know what to do. And Jesus came walking through the wall and they were like, you know, and he said, I breathe on you, receive the Holy Spirit. That same breath of the Holy Spirit that was breathed on that little small gathering of 120 some people in the upper room, where he said there were cloven tongues of fire and the sound of a mighty rushing wind. There was cloven tongues of fire. There were fire, and he set them on fire. And he powered them up to live and to do life and to do ministry. And he powered them up to die. He gave them the ability to die for him. How far do you want to go? What are your dreams? What of your hopes? What of your what's your visions? What's your plans? God has these all for you here this morning. So, Lord, I thank you for everyone here. And I know that there are some here who the fire's grown dim or grown out. Maybe you're here this morning and you would just be honest and you say, that's me. I'm just lifting my hand. That's me this morning. I'm just not where I need to be with the fire of God in my life. I see those hands and the other hands just not, you know, you just know that you need more. You need a stirring. You need to stir up the gifts of God that are in you, that you need to get about being about the Father's business. You need to have more and do more and see more. And that, you know, God can do all things. He can use an old preacher like me, but he can use a new preacher like you. You know, God wants to stir up those gifts. How many of y'all hear you're facing some pretty tough elements, some driving rain, some things that are contrary, that are not fire friendly. They're not, can I say it again? Things that are not fire friendly. And, you know, you see it and you're wrestling with it, but you want to see victory. And, you know, we have to be reminded sometimes that he gives us the victory. And Father, I thank you for those hands that have gone up, and I thank you for all that is here. So, church, I don't know how you normally end this thing and, how you transition here, but I want to encourage you. And I want you to pray this prayer with me and pray along with me. These guys are going to go ahead and start playing. And I just enter in. I mean, I know it's Spaghetti Sunday, but greater than Spaghetti Sunday is Jesus every day. And so, Father, I thank you for those hands that were raised. Come on, church, let's begin to praise him. Let's begin to worship him. Lord, I thank you that you want to stir up the gifts of God that are in me. You want to fan the fire, the flame. Lord, I pray, Father, that it doesn't go out, that I would never let it go out. I would never grow too weary or never grow too frustrated or never grow too isolated, Father, that I would not be able to see the fresh fire and the fresh wind and the winds of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the series that the pastor is going to be teaching on, and I pray that it would be like a fan that would fan into flames, and Father, that we would be able to do all those things, that we would be able to be used to do all things, that, Lord, there's nothing that we cannot do. Revive the Word of God in our hearts. Revive the Spirit of God in us. God, revive and renew and refresh in us. Let us run, Father, that we may run and not grow weary, and we'll walk and not faint. Let us dream dreams and have visions. Let us be apostolic, Lord. And
the storms surround me.
Let us be ones that are sent. Lord, you'll send us across the world in a matter of seconds via the internet. You'll send us across the street. You'll send us, Lord, as light into darkness, and the darkness will not be able to withstand against the power of God. Lord, that the power of God and the light of God, Lord Jesus, let us not grow weary. Let us not grow tired. Let us not give up. Let us not give in. Let us not, Lord, become average or normal or check off a box. The Father, that there would be a fire in our heart and in our bosom, and it'd be like a fire, like Jeremiah, shut up in our bones, that we would release it. And Father, that we would see our lives turned over and changed. Come on, church, let's worship Him. Can we just stand and begin to worship Him for a few minutes? If those of you that can stand, oh, Father, we praise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus.
Yeah, Lord.
To make the darkness tremble.
Come on, we believe that. Do we believe that this morning?
Your silence fear.
We believe it, or are we just going to sing about it? Do we believe it?
You made the darkness tremble.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, Jesus. Your silence fear.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes.
Jesus, Jesus, you made the darkness tremble.
Yes.
Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear. Jesus, Jesus,
yes, Lord,
you made the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, you silence fear.
Come on, glory, church, glory, church.
It's the light,
let us fill up.
Can the shadow can deny?
Yeah.
Your name can all be overcome.
Yes, Lord.
Your name is the light, forever lifting high. Your name can all be overcome.
Yes.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness strong.
Jesus,
Lord,
Father,
Jesus,
thank you, praise you, Lord.
To silence fear, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, one of the easiest Jesus, things to do is to sing a song with our mouth, to sing a song with, but not really embrace what we're singing. Don't you love this? Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. How many of y'all believe that this morning? Come on, how many of y'all? I mean, you really,
amen,
really believe that darkness is no match. No match. You know, darkness is, it's matterless. Light is made up of photons, and it moves incredibly fast. It can circle the globe in a second, 7 times. It can move, and it has a reflection point that when it is reflected by a mirror, that it reflects off at the same elements and the same speed in which it was reflected. Now you say, well, what does that mean? Darkness has no matter. Darkness cannot move. I know it seems like, because we hear so much about the darkness, but darkness cannot move. The only way that darkness can have its place is in the absence of light. But in the presence of light, the Word of God would tell us that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Now, that prevail against doesn't mean it can come against the church. It means it can't withstand the church. It's important that we know little things like that. So when you think, when we sing a song like, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, you silence fear. These are things that we wrestle with. This is a part of living in the world. But the light of God, the light of God is more powerful than the darkness of the devil. And it gives us and can give us great boldness. How many of y'all know that one of the great attributes of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is they stood up and they spoke the Word of God with boldness, where before they hid, they trembled, they cowered, they cussed. But the power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to stand up and to stand up boldly and to speak His name boldly and to stand with the 11 and to go out into the world and literally flip it upside down. And you and I today, 2,000 years later, we're only a few years away from 2,000 years since the church was born. That's a whole nother sermon I can't get into, but man, we're coming up on a very important, but dates are important to God, and time is important to God. Numbers are important to God. There's a whole book in the Bible called Numbers, but 2,000 years is coming up. That is significant, and there's a lot of work to do. And God doesn't want us to grow weary or tired. He wants us to grow bold and powerful and have a little spiritual swag going on, saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing I can't do. And so, Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Let me pray a closing prayer for you. And we'll let you go eat some spaghetti. Jesus, I thank you for this wonderful church set out in the middle of a field. But Father, it's strategically placed. And I pray that you would bless it, Father, that we would look at what all you want to do and we would realize that we cannot contain you. We cannot deny you. We cannot, Lord, go backwards, but Lord, we'll go forward. And as we go forward, may the fan of the Holy Spirit fan in our lives. And Father, I wish I had time this morning and Father to lay this out a little better, but Lord, all I know is that as long as you give me breath and as long as you give me strength and as long as I'm here, Father, I want to serve you and glorify you and do for you. And Father, I thank you for all these young men that I see sitting in here and these young ladies that I see sitting here that are coming up. Father, would you put a fire in their belly and a word in their mouths? And that, Father, they would take mantles and they would run and they would Father, speak and they would be bold. And Father, that as long as you are tarrying, Father, that we would be about your business and that we would see many, 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 many come to you because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you create preachers and teachers? Would you create programmers, lawyers, and doctors, farmers, mechanics? Anoint them. These are things that they do, but it's not who they are. They are mighty, powerful men and women of God. And we give you glory and we give you praise. So, Lord, it's in your name that we say, don't Let the fire, come on, church, go out. Don't let the fire go out. So, Pastor, I'm going to turn it back over to you, or I'll be taking up the offering.